desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word, anoint it, and make it alive to us. I'm leaning on the Lord. Last Sunday, we had continued the thought about our mind, and we directed our thoughts to heavenly things. And when I gave the message, I told how many messages were online concerning hell, and I told how many messages were online concerning heaven. And then I gave the total number, 7,000 messages. And then Brother Dan, he turned what might have seemed like a negative into a positive. And it really caused me to think. He said all of those other messages were helping us to make it to heaven. So we do need to have heavenly thoughts, our mind disciplined on good things. But we need all of those other messages too. So I appreciated him putting that in balance. Well, this morning, we'd like to still continue to impress our minds on glorious, beautiful thoughts. We can think about heaven with this, but this is probably one of those messages to help us get there. I'd like to be able to portray, by the help of the Lord, of great earthly value and things that are of extreme worth. And I think in the busyness and the cares of life, we don't always think about these kind of things. But I believe the Lord wants us to have it in our minds how valuable the way of the Lord is and how of extreme, I want to impress that upon us, extreme value, extreme worth. So we're going to continue a little bit in this vein of thought, and a thing of great worth would be counted as something very precious. If you put that in as a for a definition, one of the definitions, it says precious. And the word precious can have different meanings in themselves. One meaning can simply be, and one of the scriptures says, the word of the Lord was precious. And it is precious in that term, but it meant that it wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot of it being read. It was precious in that it was very small.
Scarce,
that's a good word. So anything of great worth can become very precious to us, and possibly we would have to look at it and say that it is priceless. I don't think that any one of us here today has some kind of treasure at home that we count as priceless. We're not in that kind of, mindset. We may have some treasures at home that belonged to another generation and we keep it because of that, but to call it priceless, we probably wouldn't do that. And so it's not so valuable that the value cannot be reckoned. And I think the Lord is desiring for us to stop in the busyness and the cares of our life and count him precious and of great value and of extreme worth, and that the value of the plan of God and is can't reckon it. In other words, I can't place a number on it and say it is more valuable than all of the money in the world. We wouldn't be able to comprehend all of the money in the world. It seems impossible, and I said this last Sunday when we were trying to present to our minds the beauties or the glories of heaven, and I would say that it's our vocabulary for this subject. We called it last Sunday that there was a special vocabulary for heaven, that we don't use those terms for any other thing. But for this morning, I'm going to say that our vocabulary will probably fall very short in trying to describe something of great worth. We want to start reading in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we're just going to do one verse to start off with. This is a parable that Jesus taught. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." And see, it takes us back to the thoughts of having a mind that is on heavenly things, and he's teaching us that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Well, this is a familiar scripture, and we've heard it probably all of our life. But I have some thoughts concerning it that I trust that the Spirit of the Lord will be able to bring out this morning. As I looked at this and thought on it, I said, this man found something that was of great value. And he saw it was precious and even priceless. And he saw that it was, could be a future investment. Do we ever look for future investments? Literally? Yes, we're thinking of tomorrow. And we make these investments hoping that it will pay us back or pay for tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know if we will have tomorrow, but we have a tendency to look to tomorrow, don't we? And so he looked at this and he said, this is a good future investment that will give and give and give. I like that. We cannot depend on the banking system. I had forgotten about this, but I met with Jan's best friend in school. I had not seen her in over 40 years, and she contacted me, and we spent 2 hours together talking and visiting and catching up somewhat. And I had forgotten about this, but when she was in probably middle school, would have been about that time, that the banking system failed. Her father worked for the banking system. He was a banker. He lost his job. The bank closed. And they had never been in a position like this before. He had been a man that well supported his family very well. Now he's destitute. And he drove a school bus. He did anything he could just to keep them going. Well, it didn't always stay that way. But you know, we can't really depend on the banking system. It might fail. But can we depend on something that will never fail? And that's what God is wanting us to value and count as priceless and count as something that is above all things worthy of our trust. Can you trust the banking system? No, not fully. We can maybe feel a little comfortable with it, but not fully, because in the past it had failed. It has failed. So I was thinking about this field, and at first I thought, you know, that field just wasn't that important of this parable. What I thought was most important was the treasure. And then I thought, well, maybe the field became very important in that other people didn't see the treasure that was hid there. This was maybe a field that looked worthless on the surface. Yes. But there was a secret there. Now, how did this man find this secret treasure? I don't know exactly how. He was walking about this field and he saw something that caused him to be very curious. And maybe he began to dig a little bit in this field. And maybe he dug up a piece of something. And he saw, this is very valuable. But I want this field and I want this treasure. So I'm going to cover it up again. Because I've got some business to do before I can buy this field. And what was his business? To sell everything he had. Oh, we have the account where there was a man that came to Jesus. You know this account. And he said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And the scripture said that Jesus looked on him and loved him because he saw that he had to do something to have eternal life. And so we can apply this one to the same man, you know. Jesus said, well, go and sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. But, you know, Jesus might could have said also, this is just me talking, come and buy the treasure. Sell all that you have, and I've got a treasure for you. And it is a treasure that will not run out. It will give and give and give. And many times we may read this parable and we may think of it as finding salvation. I believe there is something in this about salvation. Salvation is priceless. It's valuable. I can't put a value on it, because it has to do with my eternal soul and eternal life. How can we place a value on eternal life? But Jesus would have said to this man, you want to have eternal life? Buy the treasure. Purchase it. Sell everything that you have. But I want to tell you, I have a thought that it had to do with his salvation and the choice that he made, but this thing went for the whole life of that man. it was working for him. I got to thinking about if there was a mine in this field. I don't have a lot of knowledge about mines, but they can be valuable. You start digging and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, you start out, it's pretty shallow, but there's value to it. What you dig up, you can transfer that to something of great worth. And you can look at it and you say, the further I go, the better this gets. And I think that's what God is wanting us to see this morning, is the great value of living for the Lord. Yes, he had to. And I thought about this man. How did he go about buying it? Was there some kind of a purchase price already set? Or was this field, maybe others were looking at this field and thinking, I might buy that field. Well, I like to think that maybe it was sold at an auction. Any of you been to an auction? You found something that you really wanted, and maybe you just didn't even look at it. You know, you acted like, oh, I'm not really interested in this thing, because you don't want anybody else bidding you higher than what you would pay. Well, I think that that's what happened, in my mind. And so here's an auction, and this man has made up his mind. I'm going to buy that field because there is a treasure that will help me the rest of my life. And maybe somebody else is bidding against you. You know, a lot of times, have you ever noticed, I haven't been to an auction in many years, but people that were bidding or are bidding, they usually don't really want everybody to know they're the one bidding. They don't do it this way. They might just wink their eye. And they take their bid. And then this one goes higher, and that one goes higher. And this man says, nobody is going to outbid me. I'm buying this field. For there is a treasure that is going to help me for the rest of my life. It's going to take me to heaven. But it's going to keep me. Oh, I like to think about this in these terms. And I read this, it said, this statement, it said, it's a great thing to discover the treasure hid in a field. You know, how do you look at the treasure of heavenly worth? How do we value? Because it's not just something that's going to keep me. It's something that's going to sustain me and maintain me and uphold me and minister to me. And it will help me to overcome the world, and it will help me to overcome myself. Oh, unspeakable value. We often just are living life and going to our jobs and getting up in the morning and when we get saved and the burden of sin is taken off of us and we feel light and free and delivered and those kind of things are new to us. It's like a new car. A new car that has a new car smell. That's the only time it has that smell. After a while, it has an old car smell, and that you get used to it, and you start putting food in the car, and you have your drinks in the car, and you don't quite keep the carpet swept as good as what you once did, and it's just an old car now. And that can happen to us spiritually. You can just get used to it. It's no longer thinking about the value of this treasure that is priceless. And I think the Lord is wanting to remind us, you have something that is priceless. Value it. Think on it. Don't get used to it. Just because it doesn't have the new car smell, think about it. How valuable Christ. Who is part of that treasure? Isn't it Christ? He paid the price for you to have the treasure. So it's, and then also, if you're not looking for it, do you know you won't find it? If you're not looking for the value of living for the Lord, and you just get accustomed to getting up and praying and going off and doing your everyday affairs, oh, we need to think on these things of heavenly worth. So I'm thinking about what this man probably thought, would have had to have thought, when he found the treasure, he would have probably said, that will be a bargain at any price, whatever the cost. Have you ever thought about the cost of your salvation? Oh, you know, there are, and I may say this again, the salvation's free. Mm-hmm. Haven't we heard that? And it says it in the Word. Oh, but it cost me something. It cost Jesus something to bring it to me. And do I just get in scot-free? I want to tell you something, it's expensive. Salvation is really expensive. When you come down to thinking about the choices you make in life, how your flesh wants to do this or do that, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to talk to your heart, and won't you give this up for me? That's why I think that this treasure is something that keeps giving and giving and giving. Because as I lived for the Lord, and as the Lord worked with me and dealt with me, He didn't call for everything right in the beginning. He began to deal with my heart, and little by little, He would show me this or show me that. And then He would say, and you've heard me say this, I've tried to imitate the sound of the Lord's voice because it was so tender that I couldn't say no. Won't you give it up for me? Yes, Lord. And you know, every time I said yes, Lord, and I gave that thing up, it wasn't even a temptation. It may not always be that way, though. Some of these things that we give up may feel like it's we're paying a high price, but Jesus paid the highest price. So whatever it costs, it'll be cheap. It'll be a bargain. And yet salvation and this treasure are not really bargain basement price, or it's not on sale. We still have to. What is the song? Jesus paid it all. Yes. And what's the next part? All to Him I owe.
Amen.
So it's not going to be cheap. You're going to have to sell all in order to have this treasure. Buy this field, pay it all. there is a scripture that says, and it tells us to count the cost, doesn't it? Didn't Jesus tell us to count the cost? In one place he said, to see if you have sufficient to even finish. Well, we may not be able to see clear to the end, but we can see where we are today. And my choices today will determine what I do in the end or how I am in the end. So it says, I will count everything but loss to win Christ and be found in him. Matthew, now let's go to the next verse in Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, as I looked up, I went to the Bible dictionary and looked up pearls. It's not going to be under the name of pearl. It's going to be under the name of jewels. And there's many jewels that are named out in the Word of God. And they are used in heavenly things. And the one place is that the scripture says there in Revelations that there were 12 gates of pearl. And it's, I can't imagine this, but it says one pearl for each gate. Now, whatever size that would be, I can't fathom. But it was something that was counted among all of the valuable jewels that were named, that are used in the walls and in the beauty of the place. And yes, they're earthly things, and that's the only way we can picture it is through our earthly eyes. But this pearl is a very valuable jewel in the world. And Revelations also linked up those pearls with gold. Streets of gold. And we can't hardly fathom that. We might think now, oh, I couldn't even walk on a street of gold. When we get there, we will. We'll walk on the streets of gold. So these are valuable things that are heavenly things, and the Lord is wanting us to also apply them to our life. How does gold apply to your life? Well, the scripture tells us that we are to be refined as gold is refined. And it's refined in under great heat. And the dross comes to the surface, and it's the dross is removed in our life. As you go through life, you're going to go through places that are hard and difficult. Let me tell you another little connection to a pearl with the hard things of life. I wrote this down. It was from a Streams in the Desert. It's just a very impressive to me anyway. And I'll just read this right now. It says, what is a pearl? It is a wound made in a shell. A grain of sand gets embedded in the wound, and all of the resources of repair are rushed to the place where the breach has been made. When the breach has been made and the process of repair is complete, a pearl is found closing the wound. The break calls forth unsuspected resources of the shell, and a beauty appears that is not otherwise brought out. Can you think of being refined as gold is refined. And now he's wanting to produce something in our life that is a pearl. He is the pearl of great price, but he wants us to be pearls also. And so it says, a pearl is a healed wound. Anybody here ever been wounded? Amen. Anybody here ever been offended? Amen. Did you have to be healed?
Yes.
There's a reason. It says, no wound, no pearl. You got to first be wounded, then you're healed, and then you have a pearl. God has the power to transform all misfortunes. So also Jesus, and think about this, he's the pearl of great price. He was hung on a cross and counted as a criminal. There was shame in his death. And yet, what came out of it? What does the cross represent today? It's the death of Christ, but it also is the love of God. And it became a pearl to us, that pearl of great price. So out of life's buffetings may come our richest rewards, and we can have a pearl. You know, we can be like the disciples when they came before the Sanhedrin and were grilled and attested. And it said that they looked upon those disciples and they said they took note they had been with Christ. When we are with the pearl of great price, the residue of that glory will be in us. Those that observe you and see you and know your life and know your example, and they'll begin to say, there's something special about this person. Something will follow us and be evident. I remember when I was in the hospital bed, you know, it was amazing how many outside people came to my room. So one day there was something wrong with my hospital bed, and so they had to send a man out to work on it. And it's true, we had scriptures that were inspired to us on the wall and all of that. But the man worked on the bed, and then he turned and he looked at the scriptures and he says, you must love God. And there was something that just stirred inside of me, and I was passionate. And I said, yes.
Amen.
And then we said, do you love God? And he got tears. And he said, I can't talk about it or I'll cry. There's people out there that can sense the Spirit of the Lord and the value. And I remember another time we had to have a lady come to notarize some papers, and had a little difficulty finding one that late in the evening. And she came, and I would imagine Sarah would remember this. She walked in and just stood there for a minute, and she said, I feel peace in this room. That's what God's wanting us to have, such a value on what he's offering, that we buy the treasure and we buy the pearl and we sell it all and allow him to be the... Another scripture says, ye are the light of the world. And you're like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You know, when you purchased these things, given all, something's going to show forth. It will be the light of God. Thank the Lord. So God is calling for us to have a vision of things that are much more valuable than in this life. Things that will last for eternity. I have a song that, song 145, and I'd like for us to sing it. I think we have the time. I'd like for us to sing verses 1, 2, and 4, because I think that he left something. He gave up his all. He was in heaven with the Father, and this song sort of speaks about that. I'd like for us to think of the price that Jesus paid for you and me, that we could then turn and buy the field and buy the pearl of great price. Can someone lead that song?
1, 3, and 4.
1, 2, and 4. I think it's 145.
Jesus left a home of dazzling splendor.
Just a little bit of what Matthew Henry says concerning the parable here of the pearl. He says, "All of the children of men are busy seeking goodly pearls. One would be rich, another would be honorable, another would be learned, but for most, they take up with counterfeits for the true value of this pearl." The world is all seeking for something, but they're not seeking for the pearl of great price. And it's a counterfeit. And I said this, that a true child of God will be a spiritual merchant. We've got to look for it. We got to know the value of it. Yes. And we've got to be able to say, "I give up my all." Yes. To buy this. Yes. The spiritual merchant seeks and finds the pearl of great price. And I'm going to say it this way, is a zealous child of God and resolves to be spiritually rich. Let's all resolve to be spiritually rich. Seek for this pearl of great price. Oh, it will be so worth it in the end. It will be so worth it. The scripture teaches us, Jesus said it many times, different ways. He said, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross daily and follow me. He says in other places that if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you save your life, you'll lose it. And that scripture ends with a phrase that says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So see, we've got something very valuable also, our soul. And there's another scripture that says, my soul is in my hands continually. And nobody else is going to answer for your soul but you. I'm the only one that's going to stand at the judgment for me. Oh, let's value the rich things of God. Let's value our soul. Let's value the pearl of great price. Let's see that it will be cheap if I give my all. If I deny myself. This old person, the scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why does it say that? It says that out of my heart are the issues of life. It says, set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. Don't get entangled with the things of the earth. Keep it hold. I remember Brother Souter teaching us, hold loosely. Don't hold tight to the things of the world, of this life. I mean, it's going to pass away. Hold all of these things loosely. Value the things that are priceless and precious, that will last and endure through all eternity. Pray for me.